to pass. It's like the character and nature. Is it genuine? Is it pure? Is it true? He's saying, listen, those are yoked together. We're yoked together, verse 3. I entreat thee also as true yoke fellows, and help those women who labored. I want to know that there's ladies in the kingdom. How many of us, we need women in the kingdom? I said we need women in the kingdom. I don't mind women in ministry. I don't mind it at all. Some of the greatest ministers are women. I mean, sometimes women can meet women's needs better than men can. Every lady should be coming unglued. This is your opportunity. It says this, listen, labor with those, help those women. That means to take, listen, take hold of that and say, you know what, I'm going to help you in what you're doing. It isn't to distance themselves, it's to help those areas. If the whole church is going to grow, we must reestablish harmony across the board. Yeah. Oh, that's good preaching. Paul's calling them fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He labored in the gospel. His motivation was this: the work of the ministry is the work of reconciliation. And if women are doing the work of reconciliation, you need to partner with it. Help out. Say amen. How many of us said we need that as a reality? In a lot of churches, the only people who pray are ladies. Oh, I'm preaching now. How many of us, that's a reality? A lot of times, the people who are serving are ladies. Now, the men are strong in this church, but it's not across the board. The body needs to have men and women in the fullness. I love this. When women embrace the gospel, they advance it. Oh, that's good preaching. All you ladies should be going, man, this first part is for you. Now, do you believe that the Lord has it set up that, hey, we're all in this together? Yes or no? There are different callings, there are different areas, but we all have a part. I'm so thankful that my hand works, but every part needs to work so my hand works. Isn't that how it is in the body of Christ? It's like we can't be missing those areas. So if you feel like you don't have a big part, you probably have the best part. Amen? When I look at this here, it says this, which labor with me, Clement also, and my other fellow laborers. Paul's starting to address that each one has a part. There are many. I've listed two that I want to be of the same mind, but he's addressing the church. Now, can you imagine coming in with different motives, different heart, different mentality? It begins to alter what God wants to do, what he wants to flow among us. Notice Paul is addressing that no one, whether you're male or female, the word of God needs to be spoken. When it does, joy begins to come. There's a certain joy in serving the Lord. He exhorts the whole church from the pulpit that, listen, you need to have special care. I know this for a fact. A pastor in his oversight for souls cannot stand alone. He needs others that are properly trained to help, to lay people, to cultivate and train for service. Starting strong is something that we need, but I've learned this. It doesn't protect you from making mistakes. Even being courageous can end up in arrogance. Lord, help us to be strong. The unity of the church should extend past our neighborhoods and our homes. We must recognize that things that are praiseworthy, we need to continue to reach out. It attracts others. Amen? I believe this, women should be praised for their service in the church. Is that good, ladies? Well, that's all you get. Amen? Just kidding. Listen, there are enough peace disturbers. There are enough peace disturbers. There needs to be more peacemakers. Come on, a tried and true a mediator, listen, by the grace of God can adjust many difficulties. And I've learned this, genuine colleagues like yourself is a privilege, and not everybody has them. If you can find people of light, passion, and faith that care for one another, that's a rarity. Pastor Mark and I talk about this often. That's what we appreciate about this church. We have some quality folks here. You are. Here we are. It's nice to have common faith and, you know what I mean, not tossed to and fro and established in those things. You got to have thick skin too sometimes because the enemy will try to get you offended. He'll try to get you off your game. Sometimes you got to fight against that. And I know this for a fact. Usually the greatest onslaught comes before the greatest breakthroughs. At least that's been part of my life. Maybe you can testify to that. Look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord
always.
Always. And again I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice.
Yeah.
I want to live that verse. We could close the book tonight and say, we need to strive for that. Notice where my rejoicing is. I rejoice in the Lord. I don't rejoice because of sickness. I don't rejoice because of problems. But my rejoicing is in my Lord. It's the theme of the epistle. Notice Paul emphasizes it twice. Hey, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Now, when Paul's writing this, he's still a prisoner. Some renderings have Paul chained or handcuffed to a Roman guard this time while he's writing, whether he's dictating it or transposing it himself. Another part it leads that maybe the guard was still in the room, but he was never left alone while he wrote this epistle. And what can he say? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. If you're going through some struggles, Paul said, I am there. There's always been a watchful eye over me. In Acts 28, verse 20, for this cause I've called you, I see you and I speak to you. Because of the hope of Israel, I'm bound with these chains. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation, your forbearance, be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. How many of those, that's a reality? You've seen the sign when you come in, every time we meet together, there's an encounter. And I'll be totally honest with you. Today, I was really just, Lord, I'm sorry there aren't more serving you today. It was really broken on me. How many knows he's the most wonderful person ever? Yeah. True? He's God. Yeah. The houses of God should be the most packed places on the planet. Yeah. If God is preaching and he's there, we should honor our King. Amen? And I looked at it and I was broken inside. I said, Lord, I always want to honor you, Lord God. Not just with my lips in truth, but in sincerity of heart. Because sometimes we can speak truthful things and our heart really isn't in it, though. You can say Jesus is Lord, and that's a truthful thing, but is your heart into that? How many understand that? I'll get that in a little while here. It says, let your moderation be known. If you break this down, it means this. To be mild and gentle. Joy has a tendency to make us mild and gentle. Isn't that true? How many of those, when you're happy, you're like, it's cool. No problem. True? Even when things happen, it'd be okay. Amen? Sometimes my wife and I, we chuckle. We drive this little silver car. It's called a Cobalt. I've named it Chernobyl. It's a nuclear meltdown. But anyways, when we go out from parking lots, no matter what parking lot we're at, we always find a new scratch or dent. I'm serious. We walk up, oh, that's a new one. But see, it's such an older car, it doesn't bother me. Now, I like driving stuff nice like you, but I can't stop the dent. Amen? And sometimes we chuckle and go, that wasn't there when we went in the grocery store. And here's the next thing I don't understand. Why does somebody got to park so close to my door I can't get out of my car? Why? There's a lot of room over there. Like the other day, we went to this grocery store. It was late in the evening. There's like six cars in this small grocery store parking lot. And the car parked this far from my door. And there was like 80 spots over there. So my wife, I had to get through the passenger door to get in the car. I'm thinking, does this happen to anybody else in life? How many ever had some different things happen? But how many ever been so joyful it's like, no problem? Yes or no? It's when we get angry, when we get upset, our emotions go haywire. Yes or no? Look at verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Say all men. That means without exceptions. That means to strangers, to neighbors, to family. We need to be mild and gentle. We need to adjust to difficulties, remove our dissensions, and not be delinquent in our, listen to me, our assistance. Let your moderation, who you really are in me, be known to all men. That means you just live it out. If you go to work, I'm going to live this out. Come on. Difficulties will come. How many of us, we need to adjust to that? But what if the Lord is your strength? What if the joy of the Lord is your strength? What if you're rejoicing in the Lord always? Not for problems. And I'm not happy when somebody gets sick, but I'm happy in my God. Paul's saying, I'm writing this from a prison. I'm writing this because I'm under arrest. And I'm telling you, you can rejoice. Isn't that cool? Look at verse 5. For the Lord is at hand. That means he sees all, he hears all. That should be strong motive to forbear with one another. No thunderous ends with that. How many of us that we need to know the Lord is at hand? And you can go to him that way. When you pray for your kids, the Lord is near. When we come to service, the Lord is near. And if God is near, how many of us that brings a change? Sometimes in our own minds, we need to look at that. I need to look at my difficulties and say, God, the Lord is near. What can the Lord do? When we start to realize that and put that to practice, that means it starts to become part of our life. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. That means to enjoy freedom from anxiety. Be careful for nothing. How would you like to live your life that way? Be careful. Enjoy freedom from anxiety. How many of those problems bring anxiety? Situations loom. And the enemy is just a master at bringing that area to our face. You ever notice he attacks our weaknesses? Anybody here? How many of us he preys on those things? He's watched mankind forever here, it seems like. I know that's not for true, but he's watched mankind. You know what? He's seen the real Adam. He knows who Jesus is. He knows who Gabriel and Michael, the archangels, are. And if we think in our own ability we can beat him, he's already got us beat. Our power comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. That is our hope and strength. We can't beat him in our own selves. Jesus said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Notice what it says in prayer. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What do? You let your requests be made known unto God. Rejoicing in the Lord has nothing to do with earthly things. Paul's saying, I'm in prison. I'm absent from all those luxuries that you may have, Philippians, in the church today. But I'm saying I can still rejoice. I can still make my request known. And I'm not bound because I'm locked up here. Isn't that cool? Your prayers are not bound because of your circumstance or even proximity where you're at. God can do a work. Are you enjoying tonight? Yeah. How many of us, this is reality. Yeah. It's something that we need to look at. When we ask, we need to ask in faith. 1 John 5, 15 says this, and we know he hears us whatsoever we ask. We know we have the petition that we desire of him. So if we know he hears us, we know that when we ask, he will answer. That's a good recipe for answered prayer. You're not asking to consume it on the lust of your flesh. You're not asking for something outside of where God's at, but you're asking according to his will. Those prayers will be answered. You just got to keep asking, keep hammering, keep praying. Keep putting into practice. Now, here's what's difficult sometimes. To bring thanksgiving on a prayer that hasn't happened yet. Lord, I thank you that you're going to do this for me in Jesus' name. It hasn't happened. Sometimes it's like, well, usually you thank him after you get it. But when you ask in faith, not waver, Lord, I thank you that you hear me, that you'll answer, that you will show. It's according to your will. How many of us that you can have that petition? So it's got to be spirit-based, spirit-led, spirit-pray. Too many times it's so fleshly that the Lord don't need to answer that. Come on. How many of us that we need to be spiritually minded when we pray? God meets all our needs and some of our wants. Come on. Lord, let me keep it in your arena. And I know this for a fact. The more I pray for others, the more God does for me. I'm serious. You're not feeling well? Think of all the people who aren't feeling well. Pray for them. Paul's saying, I'm in bonds here, but I'm not bound. He's speaking to a church. I want you to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. The theme of the book, rejoice, be happy. Your requests are being made known. The way we pray is important. That means we're not anxious, but filled with the Spirit. I mean, sometimes we pray out of desperation, oh God, oh God, oh God, and it hurts, doesn't it? And sometimes we feel like we're not even tapping into where we're at. I'm talking to somebody here. But you ever prayed in faith? No, God's going to do it. God, calm my anxious nerves, and I release it unto you, that you're going to see me through. Paul was pending, his life was going to be over. He was going to be beheaded in Rome. He knew it. He knew that's where he was going. But he wasn't anxious about anything. Whether I live or die, I belong to the Lord. How many knows he had the sentence of death upon him when he's writing these things? It isn't like he's sitting on the beach going, you know, all is cool. I'm going to be out a little bit. Soon I'm going to party. I'm going to enjoy my ministry. Praise the Lord. No, I'm going to give my life soon. And all I can speak to you, church, is rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. You ever been so anxious that it kind of spilled into your prayer time? Let me see your hand. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray always in this prayer, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance with all the saints. You're not supposed to be alone. All the saints need to watch in that area. I'm going to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and I'm going to watch. And we need to also watch with each other. You're praying for a situation, and the body knows it. The body can stand with you in prayer too. I mean, that's powerful. You have to bear this alone. Remember, we're pulling together. We're yoked together. Paul said, this is how I'm hooked up. This is how I'm made, and we're going to have the same mind in this. Our spiritual position when we pray needs to be this. Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him, established, as we've been taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Notice the way we pray and the position we pray is important, which leads me to the direction which we pray. This is powerful. We don't need to run to men with our complaints, but to God. Now, it's nice to share your burden, but how many knows complaining doesn't bring power? I said complaining doesn't bring power. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Now, that doesn't mean somebody can't share your burden. Listen, if we're pulling together and you're not feeling well, we're going to minister one with another so we can pull together. Paul's saying we're being of the same mind. We're yoked in that same area. It's so important that we pull together, church. I'm serious. We pull together in these areas. I'm believing, and I still do, that there won't be one sick among us. That seems like an impossibility, doesn't it? But I read in the Old Testament, there was not one feeble one among them when they left the world and went out of Egypt. Can God still do it today? Yes. Then beat onto your faith. Amen? Could God do it? Look at verse 7. And somebody say, and. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Notice as we're yoked together, we're hooked up, we're a team. Paul's saying, listen to me, make sure you make these two. You heard their names in the verse 2. Jim and Sue, listen, I'm addressing to you. Be of the same mind. How about this? Tom and Mark, be of the same mind. How about put your name in there? We're yoked together now. Now we're pulling in that arena. We're walking, same character, same conduct. You don't do this on your own. Now imagine there's a team. Now all of a sudden there's 20 people yoked and hooked together with purpose. Same care. Can you imagine that? That could pull mountains, true? We need that, church. Paul's saying, this is how I want you to be. And then the peace of God. You think peace will be there? Yes. When peace that passes understanding, it's like you can bathe in it like a jacuzzi. This is so good. I don't understand why I have this. Picture Paul chained to a Roman soldier. Oh, I got such peace. I really feel all those who came in Paul's contact was touched by the gospel. And when it says many came obedient, I believe that. I believe revival broke out in prison guards. I believe it broke out in all those governors. I really do. Man, you couldn't be around the Apostle Paul and not get touched. True? He was all about the gospel. Could you imagine him writing a letter and dictating it? Rejoice in the Lord always, and look over and see the guard. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not ticked off because I'm chained to you. The gospel is not bound because I know in whom I'm yoked with. How many want to be yoked with Jesus? Man, I do too. How many, as if the church is yoked with him, isn't he the head of the church? Then everything else follows him. Then he's the lead one. I don't call him lead dog, but he's the lead one. And we all follow behind that. So as he steps, we step. And as a good shepherd, he will make sure that all the sheep behind him follow in the same way, are fed and healthy. Sometimes, church, we need to do this a little more. I don't need to see that. We're not naive what's going on, but man, I just don't need to see that. Sometimes we need to tune that out. It affects our spirit. Is this good today? It says, the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep or guard your heart and mind. The joy of the Lord is accompanied by the peace of God. You get the joy of the Lord, the next peace, the peace of God. Here's the joy of the Lord. It's like two things brought together. Amen? I want to say it's two bells ringing, but that's kind of how it's like. I got joy and I got peace. Ding, 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 ding. Instead of anxiety and everything else that goes with it. Cool? Yeah. How many knows we need to ring out with joy and peace? Yeah. You walk in, ding, 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 ding. I got joy and I got peace. Man, your life is that way. You can go into your work that way. I got joy and peace. You can live in your family. Paul can do it as a prisoner. I can do it in freedom. Oh, this is good preaching today. Ephesians 1:2 says, grace be unto you and peace from our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, for you've been called into one body, and be ye thankful. When there's peace in our soul, it's like peace towering above us. Peace is an object of our emotions and experience. God's peace produces a higher satisfaction. All anxiety must go. Amen? When Paul addressed the Ephesians, he said this in 3 verse 20, and God is able to do exceedingly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God can do exceedingly more than I can ask. You know what? I can ask a whole lot. I'm serious. I can ask a whole lot. And God can make that seem like I can do so much more than that. So many times our prayer life is so minute when we could expand. As Kathy just said, man, my whole prayer life is opened up. You can be worldwide and sit at home. You can intercede for nations while you're at driving to work. While you're in class, you can do this. When the Bible says it'll keep your heart and mind, it means to set a guard. It's a continuance of protection. The promise of assurance, it's not a wish. It's a reality. God will keep your heart and mind. Amen? I've faced some serious surgeries over my lifetime already. And there's been times where the Lord just said, I'm with you. Everything will be okay. Isn't that cool to hear that word in your spirit? Then your mind has to agree with that word. Otherwise, there's a battle going on. But if you let the mind of Christ rule in you, and I've came out of some pretty horrific surgeries, God's been there, amen? And it's nice when all of a sudden he surprises you with a servant. Like I've had some doctors and nurses be Holy Ghost Spirit filled. So you know what? And I had one nurse lay her hand on me, and I thank God for nurses that are bold enough to do such. I had a nurse lay her hand and say, you know what? I'm just going to speak over you. You're going to come out all right. How many of us, that's a good prophetic word. God's already spoken it to me. You've done confirmed it before I even went out. Thank you, Jesus. And let the peace of God. The peace needs to be our portion. Say amen. And strive for that in your homes. Peace. The peace of God. Now, everyone's welcome in my home, but here's my rule. If you bring nastiness to my house, guess who's going to go? I'll deal with your struggles, but you're not leaving like some discord in my home. Oh, that's too straight up, isn't it? I mean, those peace need to be in your home. Yes or no? You need peace in your home. Now, I'm not trying to be rude or bold, but peace needs to be in your home. Come on, we all have enough turmoil to have it at home. Say amen. When I keep guard of those areas, you know what? Notice verse 7. And it shall keep my heart and my mind through Jesus Christ. How much can God be for us, in us, and through us? To the point where when I'm yoked with Him, guess what? What am I really worried about? Now picture a team yoked up, 2x2. He's the lead. And now we're yoked together in this. Front of me and behind me. Man, what can happen to you? Who can get to you? It's when we're out on our own, or we drop off, or we don't want to pull what we're supposed to. There'll always be a portion on which you must do. There's always something to shoulder in responsibility, but something you can do. When the yoke gets too heavy, the burden gets too heavy, you're taking more than the Lord asks you to take. His yoke is easy, and His burden is what? Here's what's neat about the Lord, is that He knows when we have enough to slow down, rest, and eat. Isn't that cool? I have a message. It's called fit to pull the king's chariot. When you're fit to pull that area and so close to His presence. When they trained horses back then, they got them to the place where they actually could take a revolver, put it right next to the horse's ear, and pull the trigger. And the horse would not move. He was ready to pull who was ever important in the chariot. How many knows the closer we get to the Lord, the more responsibility we have in those things? Oh, we can go down that road. Maybe I'll break that out. The Lord releases sometime. You want a few words of wisdom? Because I only have a couple. I'm not that smart. Here's a word of wisdom. Our frame of mind should be gentle towards all men. In word, in deed, in action. Even if somebody cuts you off in traffic. You need to be filled with the Spirit on any expressway around here. Yes or no? And when the potholes come out, you need Jesus. Since the Lord is near, listen, this should strengthen our joy and desire to be in His presence continually. You know, these are going to be the greatest days ever, church. It really is. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I mean, that's a good day. The Bible says, makes it clear, the latter days of the church will be greater than the former days. And they were pretty awesome. I mean, that's what the Lord says. I'll be in your midst. I'm looking for more moves of the Holy Spirit. God, come down and meet with us. I am looking for the day where none of us can move because God just swept over everything. Can that happen? The glory to come down. See, God move. Amen. Listen, we should pray for what is lacking, but never be separate from asking God and being thankful for what He's granted. Yeah. Our prayers must have purpose, for not all prayers are prayed in power. Come on, we need it all, church. When I look at this scene again, we're yoked together in this. The theme is rejoice. I want you to be of the same mind. Put these two in the same mind. Those that labor among you, the men, the women, the fellow workers, even those names who are in the book of life, we're all in this together. Paul is speaking harmony. He's speaking unity. And church, we need it. If we want the power, if we want God to move, then we have to walk with one another. There can be no division among you. And you know what? I'm striving for that in this fellowship. Not that there's division on any level. But how many knows you need to fight for those things? No, we're going to walk in those things. Lord Jesus, we're having this. In this room, how many need more joy in your tank? No earthly thing will bring you that. The Lord will. Amen. The Lord will. It's that time to fall in love with Him. Realize who He is and who He's about. You have God in you. The hope of glory. Amen? Amen? How many need to deal with some anxiety? You get victory, but sometimes it rises up. Let me see your hand. Be honest. Anybody else? You deal with it. Well, Lord, I'm going to walk in this. Amen? Lord, help me, Lord Jesus, to have that peace and joy. Not that I joy over the struggles, but God, I'm rejoicing in You. Hallelujah. Last time I was in the hospital, a nurse came up to me and she said, I knew you were feeling better because you were snoring. I go, well, that's comforting to know. But then don't wake me up then. Okay, let me sleep. Amen. How many of those every couple hours, every hour and a half, they're, you know, checking this and checking this and checking this. And I know they're doing their job, bless the Lord. Well, the one time the nurse came in, and I knew she was going to come in at a certain time, and I acted like I was sleeping. And then she came up to me and started doing it. I go, hey, how you doing? And she jumped out of her skin. It was like 2 in the morning. She's like, oh, I didn't know you were awake. I mean, sorry, I just had some fun there. But she said, look, it's kind of slow this evening. So she sat on the edge of the bed there. She says, you know what? She goes, I've been praying for you. She knew I was a pastor. I wasn't ashamed of it. Said, I'm what I do. I've been praying with her. I said, you know, we can agree together. I don't have a problem with that. We can pray for all the people on this floor. How many of those, God can still come down? How many of those, it's nice sometimes when you put your head in that yoke, you're not alone in this. There are others that God has on the planet saying, you know what, I'm in it for the same reason. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes you may go to work and you may be the only believer there. That may be true. But you have the Lord with you. You're never alone. If you're yoked with him, notice Paul saying your mind, your emotions, all that needs to be with me. Because we're together in this. When he calls out individuals by name, he wasn't trying to put them down. He's just saying, listen, you two, you need to be of the same mind. Now, I may not call you out by name in here, but sometimes you need to put yourself in the same position and go, I hear you, Lord. Yeah. True? Yeah. Otherwise, as a pastor, I'm not doing my job. Sometimes it makes you a little uncomfortable. Don't blame the servant here. Say, Lord, thank you. Yeah. Woe unto us if we're not convicted in our lifetime. Yeah. There are so many today that are moving away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Bless God, we need it. Yeah. Lord, if the Lord does an overhaul on you, thank him for it. Yeah. You know what the scripture says? If the Lord loves you, he rebukes you, he corrects you, he exhorts you, and he comforts you. I mean, sometimes we don't like the rebuke. Sometimes that means, Lord, God, yes, you got my attention. Lord, forgive me. That's a good thing. Repentance gives you an opportunity to turn from that. And woe unto the ministers who just placate with people. They speak kind, loving words, but there's no power behind it. The whole time people are slipping into hell, thinking everything's okay. And when they have to demand and walk on power, there is none. Oh, man. Jesus said, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, says the Lord. We need that here. I never take this position lightly. I care for you and your family. That's not going to change for me. I don't do this because of money. I do this because I have a calling of God on my life. And I do it with joy, not because I have to. We're going to see this together, church. I want to be of the same mind. When I look at the Apostle Paul, I want to be that way too. In conduct, in speech, in character. How many want to be that way? Yes. Amen. We'll close with this. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that's our portion, Lord God. Lord, as you're teaching us from Philippians, Lord Jesus, we want to mind the same things. Lord, as fellow yoke fellows, Lord God, that forbearance, Lord Jesus, our character and how we are, that, Lord, we're gentle and peaceful towards all men. Teach us, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to work in us. That, Lord, you said to rejoice, and again I say rejoice. That our joy comes from you, Lord God, not through external circumstances, not what we amass, but it's from you. Lord, help us, Jesus, to recognize. And Lord God, you said, let everything be done by prayer and supplication, asking with thanksgiving. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, for Kathy here tonight, God, the testimony she gave, I thank you for that testimony. Lord, for the things you've done for us, God, we're indebted to you. Lord, you've done great things to us, for us. Lord, help us to rejoice. And Lord, we cast every care, every anxiety. And Lord, we don't want to pray out of that position, but out of peace. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to be overwhelmed, but to trust you, that you will see us through every battle. You'll see us through every trial. You will see us through because you are God. You are my God. You are our God. You said to rejoice because you are near. And Lord, your word is true. You said if you'd hear us, you would answer us. Church, I really want you to think on that. If he hears you, he will answer you. I said, if he hears you, he will answer you. If he hears you, he will answer you. Father, we have that peace and that joy. Lord, we call out to you. Now, what's ever on your heart, whatever situation you need to see change, I want you to ask him in this arena of faith here. Ask him sincerely, Lord, work in this. Just spend that moment for him here. Oh, Jesus, move, Lord God. Ask him in sincerity, just not truthful words, but from your heart. Let that truth come from within and out of your lips. Let the two work together. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Meet every need in this house. If it's for family members, ask him, Lord, touch. Answer, show great and mighty things. And last here, we're going to walk out this evening with joy and peace. They're not bells, but that's the best way I can describe it. Let them ring. Amen.